There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass, or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
Good evening, and welcome once again to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror. And before we begin our terrific tales, let us take a moment to open some of the letters. What I like to call my blackmail, huh? Yes. The delivery man is always late. I should know. I killed him, huh? Yes. They say the postman always rings twice, but I say the bell always tolls for the post-mortem man, huh? But I warned them, all of them, no, really I did. In big blood letters I said, beware, neck bites, huh? Oh, sorry. But on to our letter. Let's see. That's strange. The page is blank. Oh, but of course, it must be my old friend, the Invisible Man. He must want to come visit. Too bad, I can't see him. But on to the nice hair-raising stories, like the River Man, the Meteor Man, and our first epic, Henson's Ghost, So Scary!
The Carter Coal Company and the dealers of Olga Coal present The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, by now we're getting a bit used to winter. We're like soldiers in the middle of a campaign, growing hardened to discomfort and better able to take it, and looking with longing toward the day when the war is won and there'll be plenty of everything again, including that good Olga Coal. But like good soldiers, we can't afford to let down now that victory is in sight. We must work harder than ever to get every bit of heat from the coal we get, make it go further, and use less. We must figuratively tighten the belts on our coal bins and wade into old man winter with a little less fuel and a little more heat from every ton. That can help make Hitler's ghost walk. Which brings me to the hermit, who's ready with a ghost story for you right now.
And murders, too. The hermit knows of them all. Turn out your lights. Turn them out. Have you heard the story of Hansen's ghost? Then listen while the hermit tells you the story.
That you two people came to me to talk this matter over.
Well, we're glad, Dr. Thorndyke, that there is someone we can talk with before we go to see Uncle Hansen.
I'm really all against going up to his old house. Marion feels it's because it was her father's last request before he died that she see him. Well, we decided to make the trip.
I understand.
We might as well tell Dr. Thorndyke the truth, Douglas. My father also said that Uncle Hansen has a great deal of money. He felt that it should be left to Douglas and me.
You were the only rightful heir.
Dad said that if Uncle Hansen knew us, got acquainted with us, he might come to his senses and leave some of it to us.
You make it sound awfully mercenary, Mary.
Well, it should belong to me. Uncle Hansen cheated my father out of part of the estate.
Yes, I remember. You see, Mr. Randall, your wife's uncle and I went to medical school together.
So Marion told me.
Then, when we planned to leave New York and come to see him, I thought it best that we write to you first and find out about Uncle Hansen.
I'm glad you did.
Marion wrote to her uncle and never heard from him.
I'm not surprised.
So, here we are in Warhawk. And, Dr. Thorndyke, you said in your letter that Uncle Hansen was very queer, that you wouldn't advise us to stay at his house.
True.
So before we go there, Douglas thought you should explain to us.
Just what is wrong with him, Dr. Thorndyke?
Well, first of all, no one in Warhawk ever goes to see him. Second, he lives in an old bleak house that in itself has a grim past.
Oh.
Now, you may think I'm the one who is queer when I tell you this, but there is scarcely a person here who doesn't believe that the house is haunted.
Some old superstition,
Yes. But as far as I can see, it must have some truth to it.
And Uncle Hansen lives there all alone?
No. An old servant, a shy, crafty, almost demented-looking fellow, lives there with him. I don't want to frighten you unnecessarily, but 2 years ago, I made a visit at the old house.
You saw Uncle Hansen?
Yes, at his request. You see, while your uncle and I were studying in medical school together, he had begun to show signs of strangeness.
Yes?
He was experimenting with a strange theory. He believed that he could recall from the dead the soul of some individual, and that the soul he recalled could return to the body of some person living in the present.
Merciful heavens.
Terrible, isn't it?
The man must have been crazy then.
Oh, he was very serious about it.
But why work on such an inhuman theory?
Because he felt that to return a soul from the dead was the only way of perpetuating life. If he could recall from the dead a soul that had passed beyond before its time and could get it to live in another body, then the person could go on living.
Preposterous.
He claimed that someday he would prove it. He claimed that he himself would never die, for he would get some dead soul to occupy his body. And this way he might retain perpetual life.
It's all pretty awful and muddled.
To think that such a crazy man was my father's brother.
As I started to tell you, 2 years ago, his old servant brought me a letter asking me to come that particular evening and see Dr. Hansen. I drove over to his house that night, walked to the door, rang the bell.
Yes?
It's Dr. Thorndyke.
I see. Come in.
Keep it dark in here. I can't see where I'm going.
The doctor needs it dark for his work. We don't care for the light.
Will you tell Dr. Hansen that I'm here?
He expects you. You can follow me up these stairs.
Can we have a light to see by?
Your eyes will grow accustomed to the darkness like mine do.
What was that sound?
Did you hear it?
I only heard it, but I felt as if some icy hand had reached out and touched my face, almost clawed at me. There. I felt it again. Something touched my face again.
Come in.
Hello, Philip.
So you came, Thorndyke?
Yes.
I sent for you to prove my theory to you, Dr. Thorndyke.
Yes, Philip?
And don't look at me as if you thought I was demented. I'm not crazy.
I never thought you were demented. Only obsessed.
Dr. Thorndyke was visited by one of the wandering spirits on the way upstairs.
Really?
Something cold brushed against my face, if that's what you mean.
The spirits that roam this house were trying to be kind to you. Trying to get into your body. Trying to give you new life. You're lucky.
So, you're still working on that old theory, are you?
Working? I have it practically complete.
Now listen, Philip, if this is what you call me over tonight for, I can't stay and listen. I have calls to make.
You always scoffed at me, didn't you? Never believed I could do it.
Why would you want to do it, Philip?
I have found a young soul that died too soon. The spirit of a man who was stabbed by his own wife.
What do you mean?
In this very house. Yes, he lived here. We know. Don't we know, Thread?
Yes, we know.
A young man who was stabbed by his wife. She went to prison for it.
I remember the story.
But about the spirit of that man, I'm able to recall. You did not know.
Philip, this is nonsense.
I'm about ready to call that spirit forth and get it to take abode in my body.
Philip Hansen, I won't stay here and listen to such balderdash.
You know what it will mean to me. I shall never die. Never. For once I've recalled one spirit to come and live in my body, I can recall others.
I'm leaving.
Wait, not yet. I shall never die. I shall have years and years to use my money. No one will be able to take it from me. It shall be mine for years to come, long after you are dead.
I have no desire to live beyond my time, Philip.
But I have.
I'm going.
Now, wait. I shall show you my experiment. Then you can go if you wish.
What do you have cooking in that kettle? And in these test tubes?
The essence of spirits. Turn down all the lights, Thrill.
Yes, sir.
Now I shall pass my body through the fumes coming from the steaming kettle. I shall put the fumes all about myself. Watch. And to make no sound. Now.
Something moving there in the darkness. I see it.
Quiet.
Where's the door? Let me out of here. I shan't stay another minute. Let me out of here. Get away from me, whatever you are. Get away. Where's the door? I've got to get away. I've got to get away.
Get away from here! Get away! Away! Thorndyke flees from the house, frightened by the strange, weird things he has seen. Is it true that Dr. Hansen is able to make a dead spirit return? Or is it something he and his demented servant has conjured up to frighten people away? The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Well, when it comes to frightening people, I'm not very good, but I'm a whiz at encouraging them, and that's what I hope I've done for you. I hope I've encouraged you to be better soldiers on the home front with these little lectures on how to save Olga Kohl and to cooperate with your friend, the Olga Kohl dealer. Suppose we look at the situation this way. We'd all like to do more to help win the war, so suppose we imagine we're all soldiers and the Olga Kohl dealer is the supply sergeant. Well, he's in it along with the rest of us, and he can't give out any more coal than he gets. All he wants to do is equip your coal bin to the best of his ability, and that's what he's doing. He gets gripes from every side, but he's delivering the coal as fast as he gets it, and he's trying to do so in a way that gives everyone his fair share. So don't be too hard on your Olga Sergeant, folks. I know none of you envy him, and I know he wants to keep on serving you after the war is won in the manner to which you once were accustomed. So as you sit with your sweaters on and look at that thinly lined coal bin, think of the day when it will all be over. And you can once more take phone in hand and say, I want a whole bin full of that good Olga coal. That's right, the kind spelled O-L-G-A. Well, come on in, Hermit. You haven't even been here, and we've been telling ourselves stories.
And now to Marion and Randall. Dr. Thorndike of the town of Oog goes on telling the story of Marion's strange Uncle Hansen. Yeah. Listen.
I'm sure I ran out of that house yelling, I've got to get away.
Oh, how horrible.
This man is positively crazy.
That's what I thought. But he did conjure up something. I saw it.
It's unbelievable.
I know it is. That's why I hated to tell the authorities. But I finally did ask them to go up there and investigate.
What did they say?
They saw him in the afternoon. They said he was sitting downstairs reading and acted perfectly normal.
What do you think?
So they reported that he was perfectly harmless. Merely a wealthy, eccentric old man who makes a study of dead spirits.
Why didn't you ever write my father of your visit?
You can see how impossible it sounds.
Yes, of course.
The more I thought about it, the more like a bad dream it seemed to be. I began to feel as if I was the crazy one.
Dr. Thorndike, have you seen my uncle since?
No, not since.
Do you think he would harm us, sir?
No, I think his mind is weak, but I think he's harmless.
If we went to see him in the daytime, there'd be no danger, would there?
I don't think so. But I thought you ought to know my story first.
Marion, you don't want to go up to the house after hearing Dr. Thorndike's story.
If Dr. Thorndike thinks he's harmless, then to pay him a visit wouldn't be dangerous.
It's up to you, Marion.
I think we'll go. Tomorrow. And thank you, Dr. Thorndike, for telling us your story.
Perhaps it's all over now. But maybe it was only shadows. Natural shadows and natural sounds that I heard and saw in that old house. Yet it was such a weird experience. I shall never forget it.
Are you nearly ready to go down to dinner, Douglas?
Yes, dear. Just fixing my tie.
You know, the more I think about it, the more it seems as if it's Dr. Thorndike who's demented.
I know it.
We've been visiting here 3 days at Uncle Hansen's, and I haven't seen him do one strange thing.
Only this creaky old house gives me the jitters in the night.
Oh, it's like all old houses.
I could have sworn someone opened our door in the night and crept in.
It's the story Thorndike told. We're too much on our guard. Everything has a double meaning to us now.
Maybe you're right.
Sure, I am. And Uncle Hansen has been awfully kind to us and so pleased to see us.
Uh-huh.
Even this old servant of his isn't bad. He's been kind, too.
He cooks good meals for an old duffer, doesn't he?
Yes. And do you know what he said to me, Douglas?
What?
Well, he told me yesterday that Uncle Hansen was so glad we came to see him. So glad that you and I were sensible.
Uh-huh.
And that now he could die peacefully. Knowing that we wouldn't waste his money for him.
Well, it's all turning out better than I anticipated.
Well, you ready to go down to dinner?
All ready.
He still works in his laboratory long hours, doesn't he?
Yes.
I asked him last night to let me see it, and he said perhaps he might tonight.
Why do you want to go up there?
Oh, just to see what he does. You can see that he's completely forgotten trying to restore dead spirits. I'm not afraid of him, honey.
I guess you're right.
So, I just want to see what he does do up there in that room. Maybe we can tonight.
Listen. What was that? Marion, wake up. I thought I heard our door creak open.
What, Douglas?
Well, sure as anything, I thought I heard our door creak open.
I was asleep. I didn't hear anything.
If there were only electric lights in this house. Where's that darn candle?
It was one on the bedside table.
I can't find a thing groping around in this dark.
You've got yourself upset from visiting Uncle's laboratory. But he did have the most queer-looking gadgets up there, didn't he?
Yes. Now, if I can only find a match. Darn it. Where did that wind come from? It blew the light right out.
Oh, why don't you forget it? You just heard some board creak. There isn't anything in here.
Them darn funny creaks.
It's strange how you're more upset than I am.
I'd just as soon move out any time, I can tell you.
I'm not frightened anymore. Good night, dear.
Good night. Now, what was that sound? Marion, something cold passed over my throat. Marion.
Douglas, what is it?
Get away from me. Marion.
Douglas, there's something standing right over you. I can see it. Douglas. Oh, help.
Don't move. This won't take long.
It's Thrale. Thrale, what are you doing? Get away. Get away from here.
Leave me alone if you know what's good for you.
Get out of our room. I'm going to call my uncle.
Get his hands off my throat. Get them off my throat. Help.
Uncle Hanson, help.
Let go. Let go of me.
Stop. We won't need the dead spirit of Mr. Randall. The other one has come back.
The other one has come back?
Yes, come. All of you to my laboratory. I captured the spirit trail as it wandered about the house tonight. It's hidden in my laboratory.
That is good.
If my experiment works, Trail, then it may be we can get a young spirit for you. Then you can live on, too.
Oh, Douglas.
Now, all is dark in here. Very dark. Only the fumes from my kettle. That is all.
If anyone speaks and frightens the spirit away, we'll make away with him.
Oh, Douglas, they're both crazy.
Quiet, both of you. So you thought you could get my money, did you? You thought I was going to die. No, I shall live many, many years.
He's the kettle, Doctor.
Yes. And now the dagger that we found in this house. The dagger that was used to kill the dead spirit lurking in this room. Bring it to me. I'll stir the kettle with it.
Here it is, Doctor.
Yes, yes. Now all very quiet. Very dark. Very still. And the fumes are rising. Rising. See, they cover me. Now, spirit, dead soul, wherever you are, come out. Come out. Spirit is here. Can you hear his voice? It's getting lighter. Can you see?
Look. Over there. A shadow is taking form. Look.
There is some light. It is approaching me. Look. It is coming near me.
Yes, I'm coming closer. Closer.
I see him. Look.
It's going right up to Uncle Hanson.
You wanted to call me back. Well, I am here. And I shall enter your body. Just as you wish.
Hi, Dr. Hanson. I'm disappearing.
Merciful heavens. What's happening?
Look, see. Before you stands another man. He's done it. He's no longer Dr. Hansen. The spirit has entered his body.
I'm back again. See this dagger in my hand. I'm back again. So you thought my wife killed me long ago, did you? Well, she didn't. I killed myself.
Look.
I tried to kill her just as I'm going to kill you, Thrale.
No. No, no.
Yes, just as I'm going to kill you now.
Have mercy. Hey, Dr. Hansen, come back. Take the spirit out of your body. He's going to kill me. Help! Help!
You wanted to bring me back, didn't you?
Save me. Save me. Help!
Mary, don't move. Stand right where we are. I'll see if I can save him.
Help me.
Thrale. Here, this way. Here. Now, stand back of me, out of the way.
Look.
I couldn't kill my wife long years ago, and I can't kill you. But I can kill myself again. Yes.
What is he doing?
You brought me back into your body, Dr. Hansen, only so that I might kill myself again. Now the dagger through my heart.
He's killed himself.
Here, let me light a candle so that I can see. Where's a candle?
Here, Douglas.
There.
Oh, it's Uncle Hansen. Look, he's on the floor, dead. The dagger through his heart.
Yes, the spirit returned and did the same act that it did when it was living. We didn't count on that.
But Douglas... It's only Uncle Hansen here. He's killed himself, and he tried to kill his servant.
But we did hear another voice, didn't we?
Of course you did. It was the spirit that wanders this house. And that Dr. Hansen tried to get into his own body.
Oh, it's so terrible.
But it didn't work. It didn't work like he thought. The spirit came back. And did the same deed all over.
Hansen wanted it to, and entered his body. But it killed, just as it had when it was on Earth before. Yes. Turn on your lights. Turn them on.
You have just listened to the 406th story by the Hermit, made possible through the courtesy of the Carter Coal Company, producer of Olga Coal, and your friend, the Olga Coal Dealer. That word friend is full of meaning for you these days. The dictionary defines it as one who entertains for another such sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection that he seeks his society and welfare. Now, isn't that just about a perfect definition of the man who looks after your coal needs? I don't really have to tell you that you can trust your Olga dealer to look out for your interests. You know he appreciates your patronage and wants to keep you on his side. Sure, I know, nowadays he can't always give you as much coal as you'd like, as promptly as you'd like it, He can't always even give you the kind of coat you'd like or the size you'd prefer, but you can count on him to do his best. In these war days, that's all anyone can do. So don't shop around for coal. That does no good, just causes a lot of confusion. And above all, don't get panicky about deliveries. After all, these shortages are never as bad as you think they'll be. You're still eating and wearing shoes and clothing, aren't you, in spite of what you've heard? Well, the chances are you'll not freeze either. And remember the reason for all the shortages. What you don't get is going to help those boys of yours and ours at the fighting fronts. By saving every bit of coal you can, you're doing your part on the home front. And remember, when you do order coal, ask for Olga Coal, spelled O-L-G-A, by name. Olga Coal is a good buy because of its smokeless, dustless, economical qualities, so keep on asking for it. And keep on buying war stamps and bonds till it hurts the enemy so badly he'll throw up his hands and surrender. Buying war stamps and bonds is one way that everyone can help win the war, regardless of age, health, means, or occupation. Every penny you citizens of the United States and Canada put into war stamps and bonds weighs the balance that much further in our favor against the Japs and Nazis. Buy war stamps and bonds, and don't stop until the enemy gives up.
Stories for you. Listen in again next week for my hounds howling. I'll tell you the story of the devil dog. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
Characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental. Jack Lellman speaking.
Scary, huh? For a moment there, I thought there wasn't going to be a single sole survivor, huh? Oh, yes. And the poor mad doctor, he sure got a taste of his own medicine, huh? But he was brave, I'll say that much for him. Even though everyone said it couldn't be done, he still took a stab at it, huh? Oh, but I guess you can turn that compliment around and say the doctor was also stuck on himself, huh? I wonder what the other husband and wife's name were before the suicide and jail term. Maybe it was Harry and Carrie, huh? Yes. It kind of reminds me of that hairdresser who killed herself. What was it? Oh, yes, she died by her own hand. So scary!
Circle. In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell so that all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, The River Man. Here, where the story of the River Man is told, the seasonal rains are falling, and night is creeping over the countryside. From the windows of a large farmhouse set back from the road, yellow lamplight falls into the dusky rain. Ahead, beyond the road that curves like a snake along the banks, is the river itself, turbulent, swift, racing to the distant sea. Nearby, emptying its swollen waters into the river, is a deep ravine, and across it hangs a swinging bridge, time and weather worn. Now the rains fall, and in the parlor of the house are three people: Josephine, wife of the river man, Sarah Bell, his teenage daughter, and the hired helper on the farm, Jade.
Sarah Bell, come away from the window.
Pa's been gone more than 6 hours now, Josephine. It's getting night.
Well, don't fret so, Sarah Bell. What with all the rain, maybe Lucy thought better and stayed in town. Jade.
Huh?
Stop cleaning that gun and say something.
Well, it ain't like Pa to go off and not come back like this. He never done it before.
Bridge might have washed out. You can't tell. Might a lot of rain.
Jade, put that gun down. It gives me the jumps. Anyhow, you can never tell when them things going off.
No bullets in it yet.
I don't care. The way you're pointing it, and if it went off, reckon it'd shoot Sarah Bell right through the heart.
I reckon it would.
Maybe Pa got robbed. Maybe he's just laying by the roadside. His money gone, a bullet in him.
It'd be too bad. All that money gone.
Yeah, I don't reckon you do care about Pa in here. You'd be worried.
Sarah Bell, you're gonna get yourself all wrought up again. Why don't you get out your sewing? You ain't finished with that little scarf yet, have you?
Pa and me's got understandings. Ever since Ma died, we've been closer than ever before.
Well, I'm your mother now, Sarah Bell. Ain't I? At least your stepmother. Come on, do like I say.
Can't you see she don't want to sew?
Long's me and Luther's hired you to work, Jabe. Looks like you'd be doing more good if you'd go out and see if them little biddies is all right. That chicken house, none too waterproof.
They're all right.
Well, I hope so.
The river's higher than I ever seen it. The water's way up to them rocks yonder.
Guess it'd be too bad if a body got caught in the current. Wash him clean down to the sea, wouldn't it?
Sure. And the sharks would eat up what's left.
Fine thing to be saying, Jabe, with Luther missing like he is.
Wishing he'll bring him back, Paul come. But you and Jabe, you wouldn't care if he never did.
Why, Sarah Bell, how come you say that?
I ain't as blind as a bat. I can see what's going on, even if Paul can't.
What's she talking about?
Well, I never. I guess she's mad because I said something to Luther about her running around so much with that boy, Wes. Guess next you'll be accusing me of... Well, I don't know what.
I got eyes. I can see what they used to see. I reckon Jabe don't think I know about that buggy he's got hid way back there in the bushes on the other side of the gully. What you got your buggy hid way out there for, Jabe?
It ain't hid, Sarah Bell. Just left it there this morning when I come back from Saddler Wells.
Mighty funny. All full of suitcases and things like you was going away.
Land sakes. What's she talking about, Jabe?
I reckon you better ask her.
I was doing the asking. Seems to me like it's just waiting there. It's all ready to be hitched up. It's ready for somebody to cross that old swinging bridge over the gully and hop in it and drive away quick.
I wish you'd come away from the window and stop saying things that sound like you're accusing somebody of something.
I gotta wait for Pa. It won't be long now before it's night, what with the sky so dark and all.
Well, I'm not gonna worry about him. He's past 40 and old enough to take care of himself. Worrying ain't gonna help none.
That's right, Joe.
Guess I'll go get my story and read some. Looks like I've been reading that story since last fall, and she ain't married the rich man yet. Ever started, Jake?
Never did have time.
Sure is an interesting story.
You don't care. Neither one of you don't care. He could be just dead on the side of the road somewhere, and you wouldn't care.
Sarah Bell.
Well, it's true. Everybody knows you're married, Pa, just because he's got a good house and money and always had good crops. You never did love Pa the way Mama did.
Now listen here, Sarah
Bell. You shut up, Jabe Hicks. You're just a hired man around here, and you ain't got no say as far as I'm concerned. I told Pa not to sell that timber. I told him not to go to Sadler Wells in all this rain just to pay old Mr. Cooley that money.
You're getting yourself all wrought up, Sarah Bell.
Come on, let her alone.
Well, Luther was right. He should have gone. The debt was due today. After all, it ain't safe having $2,000 laying around the house.
Come on. I'll help clean up supper dishes. We don't want no argument.
Josephine.
Huh?
How come you know Pa got $2,000 for that timber?
How come I know? I just do. That's how come.
Pa told you he only got $500. He told me he was telling you that.
Well, he told me different.
Pa never lied to me. Where's the money?
Sarah Bell, don't say something you'll be sorry for.
You got the money, ain't you? I'll bet you have. You hid it someplace.
Sarah Bell.
And that's the reason why you didn't go to town with him, you and Jabe, like you planned to do.
Listen, Sarah Bell, you stop that talk.
You think you're going to run away? I know what you're planning. Well, if anything happens to Pa, I'll get even with you somehow. You just wait and see.
Sarah Bell, where you going?
I'm not
going
to run away. Not if Pa don't come back, you won't. You wait and see.
Land sakes, what's got in the girl?
I don't know. She acts kind of crazy, if you ask me.
She's got ideas, Jabe. Look, she's running to the barn.
No, she always goes in there and hides when she gets her feelings hurt.
She suspects too much. She found the buggy. I told you not to leave it so close to the house.
Get away from that window, Joe. She'll see you watching.
But look, she's coming out again. She's got something in her hand. Looks like a hacksaw. Well, she's going to get ringing wet.
Yeah, letter.
I wonder where she's going.
Listen, Joe, you're going to stop worrying. I'll tend to Sarah Bell, just you leave her to me.
Well, you can't wait long. As soon as we find out about Luther, just as soon as we do.
All right.
If we ever do, might be days. You don't suppose something could have gone wrong, do you?
No, of course not.
Well, I'm hoping we don't have to wait long. This not knowing's getting me nervous.
Hmm. 7 o'clock. Luther ought to be good and dead by now.
Just let him try getting across this ridge, Pa. Just let him. Now the cable's sawed most through.
Sarah Bell! Sarah Bell! I've been looking for you.
Hello? Hello, Wes?
I got something to tell you, Sarah Bell. Lucky I saw you from the road. Hey, what are you doing out here in the rain by this old swinging bridge for?
Nothing. I'm just looking at the water way down there in the gully.
Hey, don't stand so close to the edge. I run most all away from town. Sarah Bell, that old junk man, you know, the one that comes round for papers and iron? Well, I saw him in Sadler's Wells in his wagon, and he said he saw your pa's carriage go off in the river.
Yes.
Just a little bit after noontime, he said, in all that rain.
Oh.
I was running down the street in town when the old junk man called out to me. He said he didn't see a soul all the way into town. He said he didn't know what to do, but he was sure it was your pa's carriage.
Oh, I told him not to go.
On the curve, he said. He said the carriage was going awful fast.
Wes, take me down there.
But we can't do no good now, Sarah Bell.
Well, then I'll go by myself.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll go with you. Hey, don't cry like that, Sarah Bell. The junkman was crossing the bridge down yonder, and he saw the carriage coming over this road alongside the river. Well, just at the curve up there, one of the wheels come off, he said, and the carriage went over into the water. Sarah Bell, reckon they're all dead. All three of them.
All three?
Yesterday, when I was by, I remember Joe and Jabe was going to Sadler's Wells today with your pa.
Oh, Wes. Wes, what am I going to do? He can't be dead. He just can't.
Don't get to crying again, Sarabelle.
Pa and me. We was always so happy together. Ever since Mama died, I've been looking out after Pa like she told me to.
Sure, Sarabelle.
Now he's gone.
Maybe when the rain lets up, we can get the carriage pulled out. Maybe they're still in it. Sarabelle, where are you going?
I gotta look for him, Wes.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, don't go near that water. You'll get drowned yourself.
He might be just floating around down there on the rocks. Might have been trying to get out, Wes.
Sarabelle, you're crazy. If they're not still in the carriage, they must have floated down with the current by now.
Pa, Pa, it ain't too late, Pa. It ain't too late.
Come on, Sarabelle. Let me take you home.
No, I gotta wait, Wes. Pa'd want me to wait. Wes, Wes, go get somebody to help. Get somebody to help me get Pa out of the river.
Later, Sarabelle, when the rain stops.
Now, Wes, go ask your Uncle Henry to help. He could bring some of his field workers. Please, please, Wes.
But they won't want to come out in this weather. And the water's too swift anyway, don't you see? Before long, somebody ought to be coming from town.
Wes, why don't you do like I say?
Well, all right, Sarabelle. But listen, you go home, will you? And I'll come right back. If I go get Uncle Henry, will you go on home and wait?
Yeah, yeah, I will. I will, Wes.
Now, you promise?
All right, Wes, but hurry. It's going to be night before long.
Quick's I can. But when I come back, you better be at home now.
All right, Wes. Pa. Pa, wherever you are, it ain't too late. Pa, where's your gumption? You don't want to die. Get up, Pa. Rise up from where you're laying. Rise up and walk. I'm waiting for you to come home. Don't you hear me, Pa? Get up. Get up.
Sarabelle, you're calling me home. I can hear your little heart crying, begging me to come home. Just keep wanting me back, Sarabelle, and I'll come. I'll come. Keep wanting me home.
Walking up and down, Joe. You're getting me fidgety, too.
But it's 8 o'clock already, Jabe. She ain't back yet. I'm just plain worried.
Well, let's hope she got drowned or something. It'll save us a lot of trouble.
I got a funny feeling. Like he ain't dead at all. Like he's somewhere coming home.
You're crazy as Sarabelle. With the carriage wheel loosened like it was, he just couldn't have gone around that curve without going off in the river.
Then I wished we'd hear. Wish somebody'd come and tell us.
I done told you a dozen times.
Maybe if... Well, if we waited some, a couple of months. By that time, with Luther dead, you could marry me, Jabe, and everything would be rightly ours. Except for a little for Sarabelle. That'd be safer. 2 months ain't a lifetime.
I got the buggy all packed, ain't I? For 3 days, we've just been waiting for the chance. Now we're gonna go through with it.
Sarabelle, where you been?
No need to wonder about Pa any longer. He's gone.
What do you mean?
He's dead. Floating somewhere in the river.
You look all white. You're wet to the bone, too.
I waded in the river some. Trying to find him sunk amongst the rocks.
Sarabelle.
What'd you kill Pa for? Why didn't you just let us alone?
What makes you say we killed him?
Don't take much seeing to know what's going on between you two. Maybe Pa didn't see it so clear, but I can.
Sarabelle, you're sick or something. Come away from the door. Let me get you some dry clothes.
Let her alone, Joe. Let me handle Sarahbell.
You can't do nothing to me, Jabe. I'm not afraid, neither. What are you talking about? About how he's going to try and kill me, maybe. Maybe push me in the river so I'll drown like Pa did. So they'll find us both, maybe, before we floated down to the sea.
Jabe, she looks wild.
Listen, Sarahbell. Don't you want to go out with me and let's look some more for Luther? Together we could find him quicker. Be a shame, wouldn't it, leaving Luther in the river all night?
Get away from me, Jabe.
Don't you want to go out and look for your pa some more?
He can find his own way home.
Jabe, stop this.
He's not going to kill me, Joe. I've been talking to Wes. We was down on the road together. Wes was the one that told me about Pa. If I was found in the river, Wes would know somebody killed me. And anyway, he's going to be sort of surprised when he sees you two live and walking around.
How come you say that?
Because you was planning on going to Sadler Wells with Pa. Because Wes heard you say so yesterday.
What do you mean?
Just for the old rights, you should both be out in the river with Pa. You ought to be dead and gone, too.
Sarahbell.
You told Wes we was in the carriage with Luther?
Well, that's crazy. It ain't true.
Why, you little...
Jabe! Sarahbell. Jabe, you...
Deserve some of the meanness knocked out of her. Anyhow, she just fainted.
I'll get some.
You let her alone.
But, Jabe...
She's been lying. She might have seen Wes, but she had no right letting him think we was with Luther in the carriage.
What are you going to do?
Give me a coat. She could have got caught in the current looking for her old man. She could have done that easy. Wes will have to say that could have happened if she's missing.
Jabe, I'm scared. Something wrong's going to happen. I can feel it. Maybe we better not do this. Somebody might get thinking.
She just went wading in the river, went out too far. Yeah, help me lift her. Skinny little thing, ain't she?
Oh... Pa. Jabe, she's coming too.
I'll fix that. Don't worry.
Sarahbell.
What's that?
What's what?
Sounded like somebody outside calling her.
You just got the jumps, that's all.
Sarahbell.
Listen.
Sarahbell.
Who could that be? Look out the window, Joe. See who's coming.
Jabe. It's Luther. It's Luther, Jabe.
You're crazy.
But it is so, Luther. He ain't dead.
Sarahbell.
Put her down, Jane. Put her down. Luther, we thought you was dead, Luther. We thought...
I come because she wanted me back. Put her down, Jane.
Sure, Luther, sure.
In the chair here, Jane. She just fainted a little bit ago, Luther. We was gonna...
Don't touch her. Let Sarahbell be.
All right, Luther.
Sarahbell, I come back like you wanted. I come back because you was crying so hard.
Oh.
Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Ain't no danger now, Sarahbell.
Pa, you're back home.
Luther, you're wringing wet. You must be freezing cold, too.
I got a score to even, so I come back for you, Joe. You and Jabe.
What are you talking about?
Luther, there's one of them river crawfish on your coat, Pa.
It ain't gonna hurt you, Sarahbell.
Get it off, Jabe!
Guess I ain't a pretty sight, full of river slime, covered with all them crawling things in the water.
Luther.
But guess I had to come back, after all of a sudden when I seen things so clear. Put your gun down, Jabe. Guns ain't no good.
If they got bullets in them like this, and they're good.
You can't kill me again.
What are you talking about? You talk crazy.
Ain't so crazy for a man to talk about coming back to his home, is it? Back to his wife, so she can watch after him, pick out his clothes, all the river crawfish that crawl in them.
Luther.
Looks like you owe it to me. Seems how you and Jabe loosened the wheel on the carriage. So's when I came to the curve down yonder, wasn't nothing else to do but go over.
Paul, you gotta go. You gotta go back.
Sure. But not by myself, Sarahbell.
You gotta go back where?
Where I come from. Where you two sent me.
Jabe. Jabe. He's dead. He's a
get out of here, Luther.
Not by myself. It ain't right by myself.
If you don't get out of here, I'm going to shoot.
Gabe.
I got to take you two with me. When I was drowning down yonder, I saw everything clear. I saw how you'd been plotting and planning, waiting for the chance. Knew you'd took the money before it even left the house. Knew you ought to be right beside me, in the carriage, going over in the river. You two was beside me, drowning in the river with me.
Joe, get out of here, run.
So I had to come back, didn't I? To take you with me.
Paul, let him alone.
Are you going easy like, Joe? Are you going to bring her easy like with you, Jabe? Down to the river.
Joe, get out of here. Run to the buggy.
Paul, let him alone.
I ain't no believer in dead men, Luther. But you're going to be dead before I'm through with you.
Jabe, don't!
Just knocked off the river crawfish, Jabe, that's all. Guns ain't no good.
He's still standing there, Jabe. He was dead already. You can't kill a dead man.
Run. Run for the buggy, Joe.
Paul, let him go.
They can't get away. I got a scorty.
Paul, where are you going? Don't do nothing to him. Let him go. Paul, come back. Let him go, Paul. Let him go. He's right behind us.
Come on. Here's the bridge.
Jabe, wait for me. Wait.
Give me a hand. We gotta get across. The buggy's not far on the other side. I got it all hitched up.
Well, I'm scared of it, Jabe. Go slow. Slow.
Come on.
Jabe, look. Luther's on the other side.
Get out of the way, you. We're coming across.
He's everywhere. The nighttime's full of him. Jabe! The cable! The cable's breaking!
Hold on, Joe. Stay off the bridge, Luther. Stay off.
It's breaking. It's gonna fall! Oh, Luther, go back! Go back!
Fall out of the rope! Joe, look out!
Paul, where are you, Paul?
Sarah Bell, what's the matter with you?
Oh, where's they're gone? I saw them go down under the water, and they couldn't get out. They took them down to the river. All three of them down to the river.
What are you talking about, Sarah Bell? Here, stand back. You'll fall in.
I tried to get across the bridge and it broke. They went tumbling in the water.
Sarah Bell, stop crying like that.
But I didn't think he'd come back like I asked him to. He was a dead man. He come out of the river wet. Joe and Jade couldn't get away from him. They run as fast as they could trying to get away from him.
Sarah Bell, what are you talking about? It's pitch dark. Come on home.
But it really wasn't me, Wes. It was me. I took Jade to that shot and cut the cable. I did it. It was me that killed him.
Sarah Bell, that old bridge is so old it just broke from its own weight in the rain. But that don't matter now. Uncle Henry's down at the curb with some men. Fine when you are. I told you to be home when I got back.
But I was, Wes. Jay was going to kill me. He was going to kill me.
Sarah Bell, you're going clean out of your head. One of the men just found your paw wedging some rocks. Guess he tried to crawl out of the river. Most like they found Jabe and Josephine by now. Are you coming with me or not?
You don't believe me. You don't believe what happened.
Of course not. Here, put my coat around you. I gotta get you home before you're sick. Come on now, Sarah Bell.
You don't believe me. You don't believe me.
Down to the floor of the river, Josephine. Down in the slime and the dark. Come on, James. Come on, Josephine. Far away you can hear the rumble of the sea. Come on.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
The Weird Circle is distributed exclusively by Nostalgia Broadcasting Corporation, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, scary, scary, eh? That's one study where the terror is hardly watered down, huh? Really. You might even say, as far as horror is concerned, it explored new depths, huh? Oh, done, boy. No, really. When the father returned, those villains knew they were all washed up, huh? Yes. Something was the matter, all right. They all had a sinking feeling. Yes. And maybe that explains why they all stormed out of there, huh? Oh, yes. But I'm sure they're all doing well now, if you fathom my meaning. Yes. Yes, besides, they've paid for the crimes now, so it's all water under the bridge, huh? I guess it all goes to show you that you can't hold a good man drown, huh? Oh, so scary!
Ionized yeast presents Lights Out, everybody. It is later than you think. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you, calmly but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
My name, Arch Obler. Tonight, a story I enjoyed writing for you because, well, frightening as the thought may be, it could happen.
And furthermore, I might speak frankly, my dear Diane. The basic thing wrong with woman is her nose. Let's cut it off.
Russell Adams.
Then there's a matter of her ears. Look at them.
Well?
They're too obvious. Cut them off, too.
No nose, no ears. Oh, a fine art critic you turned out to be.
Oh, is this thing odd?
Russ Adams, I hate you. I think it's the best piece of sculpture I've ever done.
Egomaniac.
Oh, will you go away?
Not until I tell my wife how much I adore her. About stopping the artistic endeavors for the night and romancing with the old man.
Any night.
Come on. Out on the veranda, visible.
Spoken as Professor Russell J. Adams, instructor of astronomy at our beloved university.
I don't know a single scientific fact about this moon. It's a special satellite built entirely for romance.
Then it's a date.
After you, Fair Diane? Why do you laugh?
Just thinking it's a good thing we haven't any neighbors, or they'd think we were honeymooning.
10 years and 2 more weeks.
Sweet.
Why?
For remembering.
Where was I?
Oh, it's such a lovely night.
Yes. You're very lovely with the moonlight in your hair.
Darling.
335 days out of the year, moonlight to me is just a reflected light of the sun. A light interesting only that it may be analyzed spectroscopically. But these 30 days of our vacation, Diane... What a magical change. It's a soft lover's moon hanging in the heavens only to brighten your loveliness.
Oh, and people wonder why I can't get excited about Ronald Coleman.
Coleman? Who's he?
Spoken like a true professor. He's a motion picture star. an absolute paragon of romance.
Well, perhaps I shouldn't neglect my movie-going. Oh, so much, I mean, with such paragons to teach one.
You do all right. Oh, Russell.
What's the matter?
I saw the brightest shooting star.
Is that all? The way you gasp, I thought you saw the angel of death himself galloping over those meadows.
There's another one. Look, Russell.
My dear, for 11 months out of the year, the heavens have my full and undivided attention. Oh, but during this blessed month, let the heavens fall, I can't be bothered.
I never saw such bright shooting stars.
Yes, and another thing, my dear. As the wife of an accredited professor of astronomy, I think it no more than fitting that you give the phenomena that you observed its proper name, namely the fall of a meteor.
There's another one. And another. Oh, Russ, how bright and beautiful.
They travel at such a tremendous rate, the friction of our atmosphere burns them into a fiery vapor.
There's more of them. Look, one after the other. I've never seen so many shooting stars.
Uh-huh.
I mean so many meteors in all my life. Oh, so that's why you wanted me out here. You knew about this meteor shower, didn't you?
It's one of heaven's free spectacles in this constellation. Every 3 years, and this happens to be the third year.
How frightening.
Why frightening?
Those great masses of stone and iron coming from who knows where in interstellar space, traveling millions and millions of miles, and then going up in such glorious flame, just as they reach the end of their journey.
Not all goes to flame. Hundreds of them strike the earth each year.
Well, Russell, there's no danger.
Oh, no. The probabilities of being struck on the head by that cosmic rubbish is about 1,000 times more remote than winning a sweepstake without buying a ticket.
Well, look. That one. The brightest of all.
Wait, Diane. What's that?
I don't know. Something from look the sky. It's shooting star.
Look out, Diane.
Right.
All right, dear. Everything's all right.
What? How?
A meteor. Must have landed out in the field there. Here, let me help you up. You all right, Liz?
Yes, I'm all right. Russ, where are you going?
Out there. Where it must have buried itself. Wait here. I'll be right back.
No, I'm going with you.
All right, if you want to. Oh, Diane, what an experience we've had. The one chance in a million I spoke about almost occurred to us.
But Russ, was it really a shooting star? That explosion like a bombshell?
A bombshell of the universe.
What will we find out there?
A fragment of the meteorite, I
hope. But it'll burn.
No. All of its heat will have been dissipated. Then again, it may have exploded into 1,000 minute pieces. I pray to heaven that it hasn't.
I'm afraid.
No. The danger's all over. Here. The moon's so bright. If any of the mass landed, I should be able to find the torn ground where it smashed through the turf.
Oh, please, darling, let's wait until morning.
No, I must find the thing at once. The moon gives plenty of light. From the brightness of the flash, I'm positive that the meteor landed someplace right in here. I'll tell you. Look!
What?
The turf, all torn up. This is the place.
Russell, are you mad? Get up off the ground.
Right here. It must have struck a glancing blow off the bar of the ridge. I've got it.
What?
A fragment of it. Still warm. See? No larger than a baseball. All that was left of it.
That's a meteor.
A meteorite. All that's left of the meteor that burned and exploded. What a find.
Drop it, Russ.
What are you talking
about? Throw it away.
Yeah. Come back to the house.
What are you going to do with it?
Diane, what's the matter with you? Your face.
I don't know. Somehow I'm afraid for all of us.
Afraid? Good heavens, my dear. There's nothing dangerous about this. A mass of metal that's 90% iron. Why, it's as harmless as any inert piece of metal. Come to the study. I'll show you where the rush of air against the incandescent...
Russ, wait.
Huh?
Someone's crying.
Yes.
I'll go and see. It's Helga. Oh, Helga. You poor thing. We forgot all about you.
Oh, Mr. Saddam, it was exploding.
Now. Everything's all right, Helga.
What's going on, Diane?
Oh, poor Helga. The explosion frightened her out of her wits.
Oh, Mr. Professor Adams, we die. We all die.
Don't be a fool.
The fire, it comes from the sky. It kills us. It between you and me and everybody. We die. Everybody
stop it.
Dies.
Stop. For heaven's sake, stop that.
Die.
Take care of her, Diane. Give her a chance.
All right, Russell. All right, now, Hilda. Everybody, everybody.
I'm going to get at this meteorite, so please quiet the dumb pool down as quickly as you can.
Superstitious idiot. Simple phenomenon, and she thinks the world's ending. Simple little meteorite. Iron, bit of nickel content. Nothing particularly unusual. Oh, Diane, quiet her down, will you?
Yes. Yeah. She'll be all right.
You look a little rocky yourself. Here, sit here.
She's very frightened.
Yeah, and even you, Diane.
Well?
You've acted so strangely, as if this inert piece of cosmic metal could cause some supernatural ability.
What are you going to do with it?
Nothing. Examine it. Here. I'll take some of this nitric acid. Where's that bottle? Here. Now watch closely, and I'll show you that the stone consists of ordinary elements. Iron.
Russell.
What?
This mark on it. How strange.
Yeah. Funny, I hadn't noticed it before.
Circles the entire stone.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised that a blow right here would break it in half. Yes, I think I'll try to do that.
No, Russell. Leave it alone.
Good heavens, Diane. Nothing but a stone. All I'm going to do is try and break it along this fissure. You got a hammer, girl? Yeah. What if the stone break? Almost solid metal. I'll try. By George, it did. Clean in half. What?
Look. What's inside?
Flesh.
Oh, Russell.
Negative gray protoplasmic. No, it can't be. It can't. This is a meteor. It came from out there. There is no flesh. Nothing could live.
Russ, look.
Huh?
It's growing.
Growing?
Ladies and gentlemen, a shooting star flashes out of the sky and falls to Earth. And in it, something living from out of interstellar space. Yes. If this is the time to take a breath before going on with tonight's Lights Out play, the story of Professor Adams and his wife and the thing from out beyond our world. Friends, it's no news that wartime means extra hours of work and extra nervous strain. And now back to Lights Out. A meteorite had fallen, and Professor Adams had broken it open, and there was a gray nugget of flesh inside, which, even as the professor and his wife stood watching, began to grow.
Faster and faster. Gray flesh. Growing. Oh, Russ, I'm afraid.
No, Diane, no. Wait, control yourself. This is something we've got to see, both of us, calmly, so we can tell others clearly what we saw.
I'll try. Oh, Russ, keep your arm around me.
Larger and larger. Listen, the noise as it grows.
I hear it. When will it stop? When?
Look. Look.
I can't. That horrible gray flesh.
But you must see it. Look. It's forming into something.
What?
A head. It's forming into a head.
Oh!
How can it be, Diane? Flesh in a meteor growing. Growing into a head.
I see it. A head. Horrible head.
Diane, you heard?
Yes.
Head without body speaking.
Yes, speaking.
Russell.
You hear and understand me?
Laughing.
I laugh at the fear and wonder in your simple little faces.
Who are you? What are you?
If I told you, would your little earth spines understand.
Russ, what does it mean? What?
Yes, tell us. Whatever you are. Tell us what you are.
What you on earth will soon have for masters.
Oh, Russ.
No, wait, Diane. I must know. You thing... What can I call you? Tell me what you mean, you masters.
Surely you simple little men do not think that in you creation has reached the ultimate.
No. Gray flesh talking. I'm getting out.
You will stay.
Russ, I can't move.
Nor I.
You cannot move.
Who are you? Tell us, who are you?
You saw how I came.
A tiny bit of protoplasm in that meteorite?
So I willed myself to be, to reach your wrath.
You came here in that? Through space?
Through space beyond your furthest conception. A thing. Many of my people have tried. I am the first to succeed.
Then meteors are
the means we have used to try and reach this haven of plenty. I am the first. Now there will be others.
Now.
You're from another planet?
An old world. Old beyond your understanding. A world grown cold in its age. Empty with passing years. We must escape to a young, fertile world. This world.
But you're only heads. Heads without bodies.
Oh, Russ, I'm so afraid.
No, please. I must hear him speak. This that is happening to us is a miracle of all times. Tell me, you there, are you only heads in that world you speak of?
Heads. You see what I will you to see.
But what are you?
A mind and a will beyond your feeble understanding. As far above you as you are above the apes that still must crawl in your jungles.
But how can it be that you... speak as I speak and understand what I say.
Your prattling wearies me. But I tell you this. All that you say, I know. The most profound thought any of you earth things have ever thought is to me as the babbling of children. But now I am hungry. You understand that, little thing.
Hungry?
Hungry?
Hungry with a hunger that has driven me over space without ending. Hunger that has brought me here.
But what do you eat?
You will know.
What do you mean?
What food could there be here to fill the hunger of such as I? Hunger that would make me entomb myself in metal, flung into space in the hope that chance would bring me through the fire of that air of yours. What food? That thing.
I don't know. Tell me.
Come closer, that thing.
Oh, no.
And why
human?
Human. You think you crawling worms are human to us?
But if you're men...
But we are not men. You are the cattle, and we are the keepers. You raise the cattle for life, and we for centuries have raised such as you on our world for life. But now, as I told you, our world has grown too old and too cold. The herds of you die, and we grow hungry. That is why I am here. We need new cattle. Here there are so many of you.
It spoke to me.
We've got to get out of here.
Woman.
No, no. Stop it. Don't look at me. Stop it.
Come closer. No.
Don't listen to him, Diane.
Closer.
No, no. Don't move, Diane. Stay where you are. Stay right there.
You hear?
Don't say that. Don't look at that monster, Diane.
Closer, Diane.
Yes.
Move.
Closer.
No, Diane. Stand still. Don't move toward it. Don't.
Closer,
no, no.
Diane.
Closer.
Monster. Not Diane. Diane, I beg of you. Don't go closer to it.
Closer.
No.
Closer.
I'll kill you.
Closer.
I can only get to you.
Closer. Soon you will move to me as she is.
Diane,
closer.
If I could move.
Closer.
Diane,
closer.
I've got to find the way.
Closer.
The strength to stop him. Diane, you almost...
Closer.
That bottle. Magic acid.
Closer.
The bottle.
Closer.
Got it.
Closer.
Yes.
Closer.
Yes, close to you, monster. Take this. A pool of flesh. Flesh. Wake up. Open your eyes. I've killed the thing. I killed it.
Russell.
Diane, it's all right.
Russell,
I've killed it.
Oh.
Diane, look. Outside, it's still dark. Yes. The sky's still streaked with the rush of meteorites. And that thing said more of the monsters of his breed are trying to reach this earth to feel that devil's hunger in him. Another meteorite is just little. And in it, perhaps... Oh, Diane. Diane. Is there truly to be end for mankind?
Space in the form of a flying meteor. Well, there are some mighty interesting theories along that line. As soon as you've had your say, I'll tell you about them.
Friends, how would you like to gain 5, 10, even more pounds? And now, Mr. Obler, what about those theories as to what will finally eliminate mankind from the Earth?
The amazing thing about it, Frank, is that there are so many logical and thoroughly possible ways in which the entire tribe of mankind could be wiped off the earth at any moment. I'm not talking about famine or what's close to all of us, war. I mean other ways. A star moves into our darkness from somewhere out there in the blackness of interstellar space, and the pull of its presence might turn our spinning globe headlong to the sun. In a split second, all of mankind, all his buildings, wonderful possessions, his precious little pile, would go up in a flash of fire. Or, out of the sun itself, the very source of our life, as we all know, could shoot a long stream of explosive flame that would curl around us and again, well, so quickly that no man would know what had happened. In split seconds, this earth would be a charred, uninhabited spheroid. Yes. When one stops to think what a tiny little grain of sand this haughty world of ours actually is in the dark sea of space, and when one realizes how precarious little mankind's hold is on this earth, the spectacle of man's inhumanity to man becomes a cosmic joke.
Well, all of those things are certainly interesting to think about, Mr. Ober, but tell us now what's going to happen next week.
Next week, Ball's Triste. No, that's not a dance. It's a story of chance. That unpredictable chance that makes one man a saint and the next man a Hitler. The flip of a coin, the turn of a card, the bend of a road. I think you'll like what we have to offer you, but as usual, next week.
Lights Out will come to you again next Tuesday at this same time. Be sure to listen to Arch Obler's weird story of Valse Triste. And if you need more vitamin B and iron, be sure to try ionized yeast. The one and only ionized yeast, with the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet.
That was scary, huh, kids? I mean, that meteor man, he deserves a toast. And got one, huh? No, really, I mean, he may have been a rare visitor, but he wound up well done, huh? All I can say is that wife is awfully lucky to have such a devoted husband. I mean, they were that close to becoming alienated, huh?
Oh, yes.
Hey, and what a way to interrupt a romantic moment, huh? Perhaps they can resume by cooking some marshmallows by the starlight, huh?
Yes.
They sure shouldn't waste any time feeling guilty, that's for sure. If anything, they gave him an overly warm reception, huh?
Oh, yes.
You might even say they gave our visitor an asteroid belting.
Right, so.
But they had to, see? He was a cannibal, hardly deserving any legal protection. You can't give those meteorites.
Thank you.
Besides, they do have their own planet. Let them go back and solve their own problems if they're so smart. See if they're really light years ahead, huh?
Oh, thank you.
Well, kids, I've got to fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. Remember to count your lucky stars and hope they're all still there. So scary!
Now returns control of your radio device to you until next week.
Aber nach ist es nach noch.